This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy Chris, host of The Point Home Services Podcast. And I see my good friend, my dear friend, sweet little Chatty P sitting on the other side. Looks like it's a gloomy day out there in the great state of Indiana, Chad.
It is pretty darn gloomy. I don't think the sun has shone today, so it's getting cold.
It's actually the same here in Phoenix. It rained yesterday and today, and it's a little gloomy, and I have a long sleeve shirt on today because, you know, it's like 60. So it's nice and chilly here. This is an old shirt I've had for a lot of years, and I put it on and it was a little tighter. So I'm getting fatter, I think. So there comes the fat face comment. If my face is getting fatter, why is it getting fatter? Damn it, it's old age. It's the winter coat.
There you go.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, I am glad to have our guest on here today. I say vest because I think of Chad, but really he's our guest, and that's Tony. Tony Patino is on here today. Tony's down in Texas. Now, here's the deal. We've had a previous guest on, Alan O'Neill, legend in the trade. Great guy. Huge, you know, built a monster business, Abacus down in Texas, and continues to keep growing. And you know, some of the conversations that we've had before, just on here or in general at Rhino X, are, hey, we have like these legends, I use air quotes, these legends in the industry, but then you have the current day operators of these big businesses. And Tony's the president of Abacus Plumbing, Air Conditioning, and Electric. Now, even though Abacus has been around since, I think, 2003 or something like that, 2003. Mm-hmm. You came on board in 2017. Is that right, Tony?
That's correct.
Okay, cool. By the way, I noticed something. You know, Chad and I are big Purdue fans. We love Purdue basketball, which, in case you checked the polls, you know, the rankings, you see where we're at.
All right.
I don't know if you saw where we're at. And where is Houston sitting at right now?
They went down at number two. They went
down. I didn't see it. I just was double checking. I didn't quite check. Didn't know if you saw it.
They're strong. It's going to be a great season. I was just at the game last week.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be a great season. I'm excited for it. But, man, that felt good to be able to rub that one in, that you're just, you know, just one spot behind. But you know what? You ain't first.
You're last.
You're last.
That is true. That is true, my friend.
So anyway, man, we're excited to have you on here too. It's always interesting when we have someone on. One is your current day operator of these big businesses, because I'm always curious to hear how like the transition happened, all that stuff from Alan to you. But what makes it even more interesting is you came from outside the industry. So Alan's like, hey, take this behemoth of a company, you know, even though you didn't come from this world, and like run it, you know, like this sounds like a great idea. But you've had a lot of success since you've been on board there too. And you have a great friendship with, you know, Daryl, who's been here, Bingham, from Parker and Sons, who's current day, you know, operator over at Parker and Sons, and, you know, some of the other, wrench group guys you have good access to. But I'm curious, you know, it's always interesting. Like I said, we have somebody from outside the industry, and you have this, history from, I think you're at Airmark, which is the uniform services, and then you went into moving, moving business, and then, I think I'm trying to get your history right. I'm going to actually have you reiterate some of this stuff for me. But then how you got into Abacus wasn't like you knew Alan. It was, I think, you got recruited into that world, and so part That's of correct. What I want to cover is, and you got recruited into like an upper leadership role in this business. And so I'm just curious, I want to walk through Alan's thought process on pulling you into the business, and then how you, like, what you did, because I'm certain you had to earn like the trust and, like, you know, these people probably thinking, what the hell is this guy doing? Like, why is Alan bringing him in? You know, and I'm going to talk through some of those challenges, but a lot of what I hope is for our listeners is, you know, Tony comes from outside the industry and has been very successful in the industry. And I think we need to understand why and how did that look like? And so that's kind of my hope for this one is exactly that. So maybe what we can do is I'm going to have you share a little bit more depth to your background so people can kind of understand where you come from. But you've spent a lot of time in management. I mean, even since like the 90s, mm-hmm. right? be a general management or district management. And so maybe just go ahead and share, like I said, maybe some Cliff Notes version of your background, and then I'll jump into some of the other questions.
Yeah, Chris, thank you, and pleasure to be here, man. It's exciting to be on the show. I'm a big fan of you guys, and
long time listener.
I'm a long time listener, man. I'm a student of the game. I think one of the secrets to success in any industry you get into is you got to be a continual learner, and you got to dive yourself into whatever you don't know. You just got to figure out and get educated however you can get educated, right? And this is one of the shows I listen to.
Perfect. Hey, is this your first podcast?
It is my first podcast,
man. Oh, Chad, we did it.
So excited to be here, man.
Okay. Well, sorry, I'll stop interrupting you. I'll go ahead and let you go now.
My background's a little different, right? So I started off in retail. I got in retail right out of high school, and spent 20 years in retail, from a stock guy all the way to multi-unit director, and did that. And then kind of said, hey, listen, I got to pivot. And then I got on with Aramark, and I was a general manager for Aramark, running their Houston market for them in the uniform side. And it's funny because, you know, working in retail, you learn a lot. You learn how to connect with people at all different phases, and especially when you got into multi-unit and different leadership. So I started leading teams at like 24 years old. So I'll be 51 tomorrow. So it's been a minute since I've been leading groups. So
Tony, Chad was at retail too, except his was a little different. He worked at Abercrombie and Fitch.
No, I didn't work there. I worked in the sporting goods, man. I love tennis shoes, and so I got exposed to that early on. So no Abercrombie for me.
I love doing that to you, Chad. That makes my heart so happy to watch you get frustrated when I say those things that aren't true.
got out of retail, then went into Aramark, and we spent almost 5 years as a GM running their Houston market, and learned a lot there, more on the B2B side. But learn how to run a sales team, learn how to, you know, how to sales reps, learn all that business. And then I got into moving. I did moving for a little bit, and that was a whole different animal for me. I was a director for them for the state of Texas, and learned call center. I learned how to run a call center out of there. A little different than order taking call center, but more of a sales center. So that was unique. And then got recruited over to APCUS. Unique background. Came on APCUS 2017. We were probably a little over a year into the Wrench relationship, and one of the first companies in with Wrench, and I think at the time we were, you know, $30 million. So we've grown a little bit since then, but it was just kind of timing's everything, and the opportunities were everything. But once I got a chance to spend some time with Alan, I knew this was the place to be.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. You said 30 million. I do remember that conversation. And then where is Abacus at? Where were you guys finished at roughly today?
Just for some. Probably a little bit, almost 107, 108.
Okay. So obviously a big, big jump since you've been on board there. So I'll be curious to kind of talk through that phase with you. I'm interested. I didn't ask this question. I should have asked it because we were busting your chops about Houston, University of Houston. But what did you go to school for?
Well, I went to school. I went to school for business. I wasn't the best student, man. I enjoyed school. I enjoyed, the elements of school. I wasn't the best student.
Did you get a good social degree like I did?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. I got a master's degree in it.
There's something to be said for getting a good social degree.
That's right, man. That's right. But no, but you know what? In every stop you do, man, you learn. You learn different things. You build relationships and you learn. And I think that's kind of been my, you know, you asked me what's helped me along the way. It's being able to pivot and being able to learn and being able to understand, hey, you're good at certain things and you're not good at other things. And you got to figure out how to surround yourself around people that are better than you.
Hey, help me understand this real quick. Okay. So you get you must be great with people. Like, so you have these people skills. And if you got a master's degree in your social game in college, you're definitely good with people. I'm good with people. But when you get recruited for this and you have your first conversation with Alan, who's a plumber by trade, mm-hmm. right? What is that conversation where he's like, yeah, you seem like the perfect fit for this job. Like, how did that conversation go?
Well, you know, so uniquely, a little different, Chris. I think we talked about this previously. So initially when I met Alan, they were looking for a GM. So this was 2016, right? Right. 2016. So I was a GM for Abacus. For Aramark at the time. They were looking for a GM. The GM at Abacus was she was moving out of state. And so they had to get a looking for a GM, and, you know, went through the whole process with him, and really got a chance to meet him and just understand what his background, how he was. And it just, we connected really, but it didn't work out. It just wasn't in the cards for me to take that role at the time. They went a different direction. I was, you know, Chris, as I said, I was devastated, man. I was like, what the hell? Cause I haven't worked in a lot of places, and, but not getting a job was like, what the hell is going on? But I knew, you know, just things happen, and I'm a man of faith, and things happen for different reasons, and you just got to run the course with it, right? So fast forward about 18 months later, I get a call from the same recruiter, says, hey, you still interested in advocates? I said, hell yeah. What's going on? He goes, well, we got this role. It's not a GM role, but it's different. I go, okay, well, I'll be working for Alan. He goes, no, you're going to be working for the GM. Oh, so the person that got the job from me, right? I said, oh, okay, well, tell you what, I'd love to talk to him. So had lunch with Alan, and we just kind of picked up. He said, hey, we're changing a little bit. We're changing the model. I need you to run. I want to put a different leader in the plumbing division, and we want to scale the business. I need an operator. I need somebody who understands how to build this business out. And you got to remember, we started as a plumbing company, and Alan's the RMP, and everything still runs through Alan on the plumbing side. So to take on his baby, right? You got to like, okay. But it just, timing was good. I mean, I came in at the right time. We were getting ready to move buildings. We had just, like I said, we were a little bit of a year plus in the relationship with Ranch. A lot of things were happening. And he's like, you know, I my background was operations and building great teams. And it kind of worked. And it's, I had a lot of success early on and got added in. He's probably 6 months in. He said, hey, I want you to take on the electrical division as well. I said, well, Alan, you know, well, let me back up a little bit. Our lunch meeting, he's like, I said, Alan, I'm not a plumber, man. I don't know anything about plumbing. He said, I don't need you to be a plumber. I got you. You're going to have master plumbers that are going to be working for you. I need you to be, you know, you have a different skill set that they don't. I need you to come in and help me build this business and help me scale it. And so it was good, but, you know, new at first, I had a big thing to overcome. I had a brand new industry I was getting into. I had a whole new team that was really, really tied to the founder and the guy that's in charge. And so, but I knew if I could build relationships with those guys and get the plumbers on board with me, and where, you know, what I could do for them, help them, you know, ultimately get what they wanted, things would happen. And that's kind of been the secret, and just building relationships with people.
Yeah. And I was going to go down that path. I just want to ask you real quick. Did you have some like misconceptions about this industry coming into it? Like, I mean, you came from the moving industry, so it's not like it's much glorious, more right. Glorious. I mean, but did you have some like misconceptions?
I did. I really did. I really didn't, you know, or coming in, I was like, man, you know, it can't be that difficult to run this. You know, come from the moving business. You got all this different clients. You got B2B coming from retail. But so, yeah, it's not a very complex business, but it can be, there's a lot of moving parts to it. And I think, you know, operators make it more complicated than it needs to be. I think you just keep things simple and things kind of work itself. But yeah, there is definitely some misconceptions on my end when I came in the door.
Okay. So let's, I'm going to like walk through this journey with you. Okay.
Yeah.
So you started talking about this, but what I immediately think of is, okay, now Alan, the founder of this business is now Tony, and Tony has to lead these plumbers and master plumbers, right? And mm-hmm. some master, like, and you have to earn their trust, respect, all the above, right? For somebody right. to be able to lead them. Clearly Alan must have saw something in you. He said, no, Tony, you have a different skill set. I don't need plumbers. I have plumbers.
Right.
So you talked about having to earn their trust. What did you do? Well, I'm assuming the team was, it's a big team. You had probably a lot of plumbers. And so what did you do to start like walk me through like these first 6 months? Like, are you just taking the time to like create relationships? Like, how did you earn the trust and respect of the team? Cause you can't scale it and grow and do the things without that.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with your deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them, connect faster, and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game. To the Point listeners, listen up. What if the biggest thing holding back your business isn't marketing or hiring, but your bennies? The benefits for home service companies, a better 401k can be the difference between great techs and losing them to the shop right down the street. Basic Capital, our newest sponsor, is the only 401k built to actually put your team on a real path to retirement. Companies that switch over see higher participation, happier teams, and dramatically low turnover because your crew finally gets a plan that's a true benefit, not just a checkbox. Don't wait until your best people walk. Make the move and click the link below to get 12 months with zero employer fees when you join Basic Capital.
Yeah. So first of all, you got to like put park your ego and title and everything else you think you have to the side, right? These are guys that are, you got to have humility. And I think that's the number one thing is you got to be genuine and you got to have humility in what you're doing. And you got to come from a place of wanting to truly help people. And I think that's what the guys really recognized early on with me is I'm not here to be your boss. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you. Really, I am. I truly am invested in your best interest as a leader. My job is to lead people, not to boss people around. So I genuinely wanted to roll my sleeves up, understand what they did, understand where their pain points was, and understand what their goals were. Like, hey, man, most of them, it's financially. I want to make more money, or I want to buy my first car, or my first house, not my car. But you know, they each had their own individual story. And I think that's the whole key to it, is just understanding their story and them understanding my story and understanding that, hey, I'm not here to change anything. I'm here to make it better, right? I'm here to kind of build some things that we have a phenomenal brand. We have a phenomenal foundation. How can I make life better for you so you can earn more money and help me kind of build this business out? And at the time, we were probably 20 people, 20 plumbers at the time. I mean, we're up to about 60 something now. So in Houston, so you figure like, hey, you're just learning, you know, you're kind of learning, but I had to first get the managers to buy in, right? I had three managers, you know, two journeyman plumbers, one master plumber that I had to get on my team. They had to understand that I was in it for them and I was here to help them grow as well. So, that was my first order from then was in them, you know, working with the guys in the field.
Hey, Tony, I guess I think what you said is spot on. It's we always have the philosophy around here of ease their pain mm-hmm. out in the field. And oftentimes it's not full scale changes. It's the little stuff. Like right. I had a meeting with electricians today who said that it would be really nice if we could just get these damn connectors on our truck so that I don't have to go and like submit an order and do all this. And we're like, well, that would make you happy? They're like, yeah, it's just a pain. Can we please fix this? Like, absolutely. That seems like the easiest thing I'll do all day with the biggest result. What were some of those things like maybe early on that you discovered that, you know, not that anybody was doing anything wrong. It was just they were overlooked, or as you're building relationships, it's like, hey, this is some really low hanging fruit that can make a big impact, even though it may not look or feel like it would.
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris. That's a great question. So the timing worked out. We were going through, like I said, wrench early stages. And so ServiceTitan was rolling out, right? We had to get, that was like task number one. So it was getting these guys to really go. And Abacus was probably ahead of its time because we were already using iPads and this type of stuff, but they weren't necessarily, it was all done on PDFs. And anyway, so helping them with the transition and it just the small things of just making ServiceTitan as easy as possible for them. So I was the guy who rolled out ServiceTitan. I was the one that was leading it up for Abacus. And of course, you know, I was very intimate with them and the guys as far as learning what ServiceTitan can do and then helping them really, but just listening to them. What do they want to see in this? How does the price book need to be set up so that it's easy for them to bill tasks and find or find tasks and to you know ultimately do things that they need to do? So those are just some of the things. I mean, there's probably there's so many little things that we did over the years, but it's a lot of it is just kind of talking with the guys in the meetings, hearing them, and because I tell the team here all the time, we can have the greatest ideas in the world sitting in the side of a room, but until you go out there in the field and under, and see what these guys are dealing with, it doesn't work. And sometimes it's just a small change. It's just hearing them out. And if one or two of them are having a problem, all of them are, it's something that's relevant to all of them. And it is the small things. It's the small things that matter to them. Could be a phone mount inside of a truck, so they're not, you know, fumbling around with their phones. It could be a bunch of little things over the years, but, yeah, early on, I would definitely say Service Titan was a big, and once they understood, hey, I was here to help them with Service Titan, I wasn't here to try to make their life more complicated with it. That kind of helped me a lot.
So hang on a second. Let me, I think you skipped over something that I want to make sure, or maybe I heard it wrong. So you come on board, you move into a new facility in that time frame. Is that right?
That's right.
So new build. Okay. You bring on another trade at some point and you bring on Service Titan. All this stuff is happening like simultaneously. Is that, did I hear that right? Is the timeline right?
Yeah. Within the first year.
Uh-huh. Dear God, all in the same.
Well, we know why Alan was looking for help. Hey, there's some big projects. I'm going to need an extra set of hands. Yeah, makes all the sense in the world now.
And I think, you know, again, my background, I've always been really good with technology. I've always been really, really good with technology. And it was, you know, just my dad was an engineer growing up. And so anyway, so I was always fascinated by ways to be more efficient, how to use technology in your favor, make things easier for yourself, et cetera. So learning Service Titan was easy for me. That was like the easy part, learning how to bring some of the stuff to the trade. So that was probably where I found myself, you know, at early on, is just saying, hey, these guys struggle with this stuff. They struggle. They can do a lot of great things in the house. They can do a lot of phenomenal things. If I can make their life easier with just technology and understanding it a little bit better and building it so that it's user friendly for them and it's built for them, then I learned the trades a little bit more and learned the business. But that was kind of my early wins. And yeah. And that really helped me a lot with the guys, because I became the go-to guy for, you know, anything Service Titan related.
I can see it now, dude. Like, first off, you took this all makes sense on how you earned their trust real quick, because you took the technology, learned it for them, were the crutch for probably some time for some of them.
I did.
And by that way, you're like, oh, okay, cool. And so you leveraged that complicated process for them, and which was a strength for you, and you earned their trust through that, which is great. Like, so that makes total sense. So then let me think about this. When that was kind of done, you know, and which is typically a pretty long onboarding process and, you know, for all that, were there some like early challenges too that you faced where like some of these people were pushing back on you, you know, because that has a shelf life, right? Like that has a shelf life.
Yeah.
What were some of these like early challenges where these guys pushed back on you? Like, hey man, like thanks for the Service Titan stuff. We really appreciate you learning the business, but you don't know how to be you're not a plumber. You know, you had to have gotten some of that.
A little bit. Yeah, definitely. You know, but I would say, Chris, I have a great team of managers, right? I brought my own guys in, you know, brought a few of my own guys in. And a lot of it just came internal. I promoted some guys, of course, working with Alan on, hey, making sure I've gotten the right kind of guy that we're looking for. But the managers really kept a lot of that off me in terms of like I didn't have to answer technical questions, and they would, you know, those guys handled all that part. I handle more of the operational pieces and leadership functions of the department, and kind of strategy of how do we grow, right? How do we grow? How do I make things easier for them? How do we, you know, leverage this? How do we expand into water treatment? You know, I was that guy that was coming in. Now, then it became fun, right? As I started to learn the trade itself and saying, okay, well, why don't, you know, and I had the benefit of being the guy from the outside, so I could ask the dumb questions and not, like, okay, well, like, why is that? Like, help me understand it, right? And so then it's like, okay, but yeah, you guys are missing the easy stuff that's right here. So that was also helpful for me with building the relationships with the managers, building the trust inside the building. But then it just, I think Alan kind of saw that in me. And that's why he said, hey, well, I need you to kind of lead up this electrical division as well. And by the way, we were like $1 million in electrical at the time. We're pushing north close to 20 now.
Wait, when did you add electrical?
When was that? Late 2017. So within the first year, I had two departments.
Okay. Okay. Yep. So was it? Okay. Got it. Okay. I'm tracking. All right.
Yep.
Okay.
So yeah. But electrical, again, I wasn't necessarily I was the guy in the background. We had a operations manager that was the face of the department in a very small department. Right. But my job was to help scale it. It was to help, again, take the same things I was doing in plumbing, help them with the price books, help them with the Service Titan pieces that was coming up, but also kind of get anything out of their way that was helping them from growing. We worked with Chris Crew a lot and on the electrical side to help kind of build that out for us. All the stops I was just learning. I was learning different things. I was learning from different people. Of course, Wrench at the time we kept growing. So building relationships within Wrench and anything and everything I could get my hands on, I was absorbing.
Yeah, man, you got plenty of mentorship in that group to help.
Tons of mentorship. I mean, timing's everything, right? So built some phenomenal relationships with Kevin Comerford and of course Alan. You have PK. You have all these guys that are. You know, these are the guys, legends of the business that I got a chance to work with. And just sit, I was the guy in the background. Now, of course, Alan was still running the company, but I got a chance. I'm one of those guys that just sits there, observes, takes notes, figures it out. But just being exposed to those guys and say, well, how the hell is Kevin doing it out there in Northern California? Where it's 200 degrees in Texas and we're not nearly his size in HVAC. What is he doing? So, you know, got a chance to go out there and spend some time with him and Ray and those guys to learn their business. So I've always been a student of the business. And I think that's what people say. You just got to be continually learning how to sharpen yourself.
So I've got a question for you. This may be somewhat selfish because we're trying to solve this problem here, but you mentioned water treatment. Mm-hmm. And I feel like water treatment is one of those things where it's often overlooked. I think we're aware of it, but you know, customers overlook it because there's companies out there that just do water treatment. And you know, you're the plumber, so just fix the pipes. And it's like, well, no, we can actually, you know, improve your water quality and do all of these things. Like, what? Give me a sense of what you said when you focused on that. Like, what does that look like for you guys? Is it part of plumbing? Is it somewhat apart but separate? What's that look like for you guys?
Great question. So yeah, Alan always wanted to do water treatment, but we could not do it. He didn't have a lot of success with the plumbers. They couldn't buy into it. So he said, listen, Tony, I want to do water. So in 2019, he said, that was one of the things he tasked me with was to launch a water treatment division. We did. I went out and hired a guy from Culligan and it was totally separate, hired a salesperson and an installer, but he wanted to do it the Abacus way. We wanted to have high quality, and wanted a plumber to install it. So we did all of the things that, you know, that meant something to the brand and kind of consistent with us. But, and then the plumbers, all they had to do was turn leads over. They were the ones, so we had a whole spiff program around them, turning leads over to our salesmen would sell it. We would install it. And then we went from there. As we built it out, the plumbers started, now they started seeing them. Well, that's a, you know, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 sale. Let me get some of that action. Let me figure out how to sell water treatment now, because it became real to them. So yeah, I think that's, we had to separate it because we just weren't getting traction by just trying to keep it inside our plumbing group.
Yeah. I think that's what we're seeing too. Like, it's what gets focused on gets fixed.
That's right.
I think that, and then I think, you know, very similarly, like generators on the electrical side, to me, I kind of categorize those two in the same kind of realm as like, these are totally separate. There are business. What I always see when there are businesses that just do that, we ought to probably think about it like they think about it, even though we offer a bunch of stuff.
Yep. Yeah. And so generators is a great story because everybody was asking us, when are you going to do generators? When are you going to do generators? I was like, man, until we get our service, like our core business of electrical down into where that's our core business. And we'll worry about generators when we got there. And so 2023, we launched generators and we did it as, I call it a hobby, right? It was just like, we want to do it in the background. We want to make sure we're doing it right. And then we quickly learned, hey, there's a whole lot of complexity to this thing versus electrical. And last year, fast forward last year, we had all the storms in Houston and we did a small tuck-in in Austin with it, and all of a sudden we got in the generator business, and we learned really quickly that you have to pull it out and separate it. You have to have a whole different work process, because it involves plumbers and you got all this stuff going on. And overnight it became a separate vertical for us in both Houston and Austin.
You're spending thousands to make the phone ring, but if your CSRs aren't picking up or converting, you might as well light it on fire. And what are the largest businesses in the country doing about this? They use Avoca, the leading AI platform in the trades. $100 million businesses like H.L. Bowman are operating with only 9 CSRs because Avoca handles up to 80% of the calls. Plus, Avoca follows up with your leads, grades your CSR calls, and helps you strategize. So my suggestion, go with the leading company. Check out avoca.ai. That's avoca.ai. Click the link below. Attention to the point, listeners. Branding has never been more important. Is your brand in serious need of an upgrade? Do you have a new company and need a new brand, but don't want to wait 6 months or pay a ridiculous amount to get it done? If your brand looks like everyone else's, well, guess what? You are everyone else. But Prolific, they build brands that dominate. From the first Google search to the driveway, Prolific brand design can help you be more of you, because you are the unique difference that sets you apart from all your competitors. So let's be real for a second. Your brand is either winning you customers or costing you money. Just ask some of our clients like Ken Goodrich, Ishmael Valdez, my boy Chad Peterman, and even myself. Prolific brand design is the creative pros behind some of the best home services logos, truck wraps, websites, and now email marketing campaigns. Wouldn't you love it if your email marketing open rates were 30, 40, 50% and don't go into the spam folder hell? That's how we roll at Prolific. So check them out at prolificbranddesign.com and ask for the To The Point promo, Prolific Brand Design. Be more of you. Be prolific.
Yeah, man, you're in a good market for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If it isn't freezing, it's freaking raining and hurricanes and tornadoes, man.
You know, when you and I were we're talking, I think it was a few weeks ago, I can't remember at this point. Yeah. I had asked you a question because it was around like who's your hire? Like when you finally got your feet under you, you know, you were starting, you were tackling a lot at the same time. I understand why Alan brought you on board. And clearly he thought you were capable. And then once you proved it out, then adding the other industries was the other service lines was easy because he knew he knew how to scale these things. But if you remember this, I asked you, I said, well, what was the one place where you realized like, hey man, we have a major problem here. This is one thing that I'm focused on, too many other things. I said, who was your first hire? Mm-hmm. Like, who was your first real hire that kind of, that helped you? And you said sales, you needed a sales leader. Mm-hmm. And so, maybe let's just talk about, how did you identify like that gap in sales leadership? What was the process there? Cause then you got to bring in a leader and then you got to like hopefully bring in somebody else that those people trust, like, and then try to build some trust. So you're kind of like doing the same thing Alan was doing for you. Yep. You're now having to do it for this person you bring in. So maybe how deep into this, like into your time there was it before you did this, and then maybe explain that process.
Yeah. So this would have been 2021. I think we made it, Alan and I were talking, and of course I'm at the point, I was a vice president at this point of operations. And I said, Alan, I think we plateaued a little bit in the trades. I think we've got to start looking at maybe, bringing in, because we grew at different stages, but we had electrical was its own division. Everybody was running in their own way, but they weren't necessarily our sales process was all over the place. We were different in each trade. I said, we need to bring in somebody that's going to help standardize the sales process so we can scale this thing on the sales side. We do a lot of great service stuff, install, but we're really inconsistent trade to trade. And then at the time we were about to launch the greenfield, I said, we really got to get a sales process down. So that's really what drove the decision to get a sales, director. So we went out and went outside the company and hired somebody, the person had the great resume, had the great background, but just did not connect well with what happened. Like the culture of Abacus and who we were. We pivot, you know, you hire quickly, or you take your time hiring the right person. And, but if they don't fit, they don't fit. You got to move quickly. And we pivoted pretty quickly, off of him and got another person in, and that person was a home run, right? That person really kind of helped us. And what it did is just helped us build some process, helped us show what we could do when it came, if we had somebody focused on sales, and driving the business at the top. Phenomenal year in 2023, 24. It really, really set the stage for us as we move forward with,
Did they come from the industry or outside the second person?
He came from inside the industry as well. Yep.
Okay. And so does that process look like you have a recruiter reaching out, or is this somebody you guys had on your radar, or like how'd that work out?
Yeah. By that point we have a recruiting team here, local recruiting team for both markets. And, we kind of put together a rec for that job and job description and what we were looking for, went through a bunch of different candidates, but found one that was a great fit for us.
Did you, maybe just talk through then you placed this first off, you put in one person. I'm not sure how long that person was there before you said, see you later. What was that time frame, the first one that came in? Because you said you fired him pretty quick because you knew.
Within 6 months.
Okay, cool. So six months. So, but enough time to where now you bring somebody else back in. They're like, okay, here we go again. Like, because now that person has to prove it out, right? Because now, maybe explain how that process, like, well, how did you support that person first off? I was like, because you had to know you're going to be battling that trust piece of it, right? From the team. How did you approach that to support this person? Like, what did they do? Did they kind of follow a similar process to what you did when you came in from the moving space where you're trying to build trust? Like, maybe just explain that to me a little bit.
Yeah. So we brought this gentleman in. So again, he was local. The other guy was from outside the city. So he moved in. So it was a little, he had a lot going against him. The first gentleman. And then he just could not connect with the people. So the second one, as we brought him in, is like, hey, more than anything else, A, you got to have the skills that we're looking for, but B, you got to be able to, are you a culture fit for us? Are you a fit for what we're trying to do? Are you a fit for me and my team and what we're trying to do? And the answer was yes. I mean, you know, he brought in a few people with him to help kind of transition himself, you know, a few top tier salespeople. That was, you know, a little bit different for the guys as well, because you're like, okay, here comes this guy bringing all his own people in. So learning how to mesh those with our existing team, that's really where I kind of helped him a lot with that. It's like, okay, we're one team. Here's why we're doing it. And Alan always talked about, like, hey, you address the guys and you do everything up front. You tell them what you're doing, why you're doing it, the why behind it, and how we're going to have a path forward, instead of trying to, you know, when you don't say that, or when you don't come up in front of everybody and tell them what that is, then they start speculating. Then the rumor mill goes, and then everything else kind of follows it. Right. So always kind of remember, you know, always into this day, we do the same thing. So I think when you look at the transition from me to Alan, a lot of it was just me observing what he did, kind of taking those lessons and saying, okay, here's what we got to do. We got to acknowledge the fact that we struck out. Like, hey, we brought a guy in. It wasn't, you know, I've always tell you, we're not afraid to push the envelope. We're going to make some decisions. We're going to strike out. We're going to make some bad ones, but we move quickly. We pivot. And here's what we're doing going forward. And I think people, they have one or two choices. They're going to accept it and move forward, or they're going to kind of live in the past. And you just coach those other ones out. I mean, you coach the ones that, you know, get them on the right page, but
that's top grade. I imagine, like, you know, you have your new sales guy come in and he brings some like strong salespeople with him. Now you're like, oh, we get some competition. So you have, people are going to be like, oh, screw this. Or they're going to like step up. You know what I mean? Like, and you kind of got both sides in the sales world. It's interesting because Chad and I in our roofing business just brought on two new salespeople, which sales leaders at that too. And so I'll be interested to see how all that stuff plays out. And they kind of came together as a package deal where they'd done it previously for another roofing business. But you got to kind of have everybody, you know, bought in and want to be led by them. And those that don't will weed themselves out, you know, I think naturally. I think that's what I think when I, obviously I like, I'm a sales guy, I guess I should say. I started as a salesperson, so I really understand like the thought process of salespeople. And I think that, and the decision-making of salespeople, but it's when you get like intimidated, I think, is when your reaction is to just talk shit, you know, or like be toxic, and then, right, you know, and then you leave because you actually don't know how to like just go and compete. Like, but I want to go and like compete. I'm like, oh, you're going to bring in somebody you think is better than me. Like, sure, okay, like, let's go. And I think you got both ends of the spectrum. And then you have the middle people, which we all need. We need that like median that are just kind of cool with like, ah, it's cool. Like, I just want to keep selling, you know, and making, you know, my hitting my numbers, and I'm fine with that, you know? And,
right.
But still, you know, the, you know, you have to develop as a leader, you still have to develop your team, like even the best salespeople. So, but in order to do that, you have to have people's trust and respect and things like that. So when that person came in, I'm certain he probably had like, did he have like a, hey, I come in, here's a part of my sales training process. Like, here's what I like, my regimen I like to have. Was it like, did he bring that in? Did you guys give him what you want? And he had to marry the two together. Like, how did that work?
No, Chris, and I think that was our biggest, like, we didn't have a real defined sales process, as big as we were at the time. We, again, every trade was kind of doing their own thing. We didn't have a Abacus system, if you will.
Were you cross-marketing, Tony? Were you guys cross-marketing between trades?
Yes. Yeah.
Like cross-selling, I mean, between trades? Cross-selling,
yeah. Not as much as we are today, back then, but, you know, you back up a few years ago, plumbing, you know, not to the degree like we wanted, right? That was an opportunity for us. We feel like we have a phenomenal brand. We're not just a plumbing company. We're not just an HVAC company. People still didn't know we did electrical, and they definitely didn't know we did water treatment. So that was the other part of it. How do we build a sales process that tells a customer that, hey, we're your one-stop shop. We can sell the entire, you know, we can help you in your entire home, not just your plumbing needs. Or so that was part of it. And that to this, I mean, even to this day, we're still refining that whole thing with when it comes to cross-selling.
Yeah. Tony, on the cross-selling thing. So I asked this question just because I think you're 100% right. Is there is so much opportunity there that I think we sometimes add other trades and forget that it's still one company offering all these services. So we may want to tell the customer about all of this stuff.
Right.
We just got done building like this app thing where all the technicians, their stuff goes. And we put the referral tool right by the button that they hit 4 times a day to talk to dispatch. And just in the first 2 weeks of rolling it out along with a SPIF program for cross trade leads,
yep,
the results were phenomenal. And then you start to look at, well, every lead on Google continues to cost more and more. Mm-hmm. This lead, I've already paid for it once. My cost per lead is just basically the SPIF that I pay the technician. So what, I guess maybe tell us a little bit more about that program, like how you guys do it. Cause I think it could be super beneficial for, contractors out there that have multiple trades. And, you know, I think everybody says, oh, well, we can do that. But like, there's got to be more than that to really make it fruitful.
Yeah. So as we were talking through this, you know, backing up a few years ago, we said, hey, we've got a good membership base, but believe it or not, our membership base, they're in silos too. We started off as a, you know, we have a plumbing, we had three different core memberships, and you know, we had at this time we were probably pushing 18,000-19,000 memberships in Houston, but only like 1,000 of them. 1,000 home had us for all three trades. So that's what really drove our whole model shift, right? And it married up with our cross-selling. That's when we rolled out VIP. So VIP is a one membership. It's a monthly membership. It's a single price, and it gets you all your maintenance throughout your house. So now the customers say, so I'm not just a plumbing member. I'm a VIP member for your entire house. And so we pivoted off that. So that's how, you know, we kind of got around the house. Like, hey, we're not here to, you know, now the plumber's going in here to do his water heater flush. He's looking at an electrical panel. He's taking a picture of it as part of his safety check. And now we got an opportunity for our rehash team to go in and kind of, you know, book a job on. Or as we evolved our sales team over the last few years, now we cross train our sales team to be now their VIP salesman. They learn how to sell, not just the HVAC system, but we taught them how to sell, you know, we built out packages for them for water heaters, tankless water heaters, electrical panels. So now they can go in there and they may go on a lead or turnover lead for a underground job or for, you know, and turn it into something that's bigger, right? Leverage, you know, one-stop shop for us, but it all starts as a VIP member. We do so much business off our VIP memberships.
Yeah. That's awesome.
You would have had a hell of a mentor in selling memberships and increasing revenue off memberships in Jamie DiDomenico, down in Florida. He was exceptional at that.
He was. Yeah.
We did a podcast with him. God, Chad, I can't remember if you were on here. How long? I actually might have been before you too, where we talked about how he scaled that. You know, Cool Today is his business, if you guys aren't familiar with Jamie D. Chad, do you know who Jamie D. Domenico is?
Yeah, he's a old Nextstar guy.
Right. Okay, yeah. So, yep. I mean, it was a good one because he was just talking about how he scaled that thing off of, like, I don't even remember how many. It was huge, like 25, 30 million bucks or something like that off of membership, like upsell revenue. I'm like, dear God. Like, so, yeah, you had a good person to reach out to on that one. And you know what I was thinking about when you guys were talking about water treatment? You know who pushes it really, really hard out here is Parker and Sons. They push RO like quite a bit. Like that's awesome.
Yeah. When I was there like 3 years ago, I remember they had like a barn of water softeners. And I'm like, are you moving all these things? He's like, oh yeah, probably like 50 a day. I'm like, oh my God. All right, let's go sit down and talk about this. I didn't figure this piece out.
Yeah. And I think that's the power and the beauty of like, so when we were talking about it, you know, Alan said, hey, like reach out to Daryl and those guys at Parker. They've got a phenomenal, you know, model. And that way we don't have to necessarily like reinvent the wheel. Like, right. Let's just take what they do. You modify it for us. Now, of course, in Houston, we don't have hard water. We just have bad water, right? We got a lot of contaminants in the water. Austin, they have hard water. So it's a little different in each market, but the process is the same. You got to get people to feel like they need it, right? And that was the thing in Houston. People didn't necessarily, you know, they didn't grow up with water softeners, and it wasn't a need item. But it's, you know, over time it became, hey, as we marketed to it, people started saying, hey, can you give me one of those water treatment systems? They're going to give me some fresh water, and so yeah, it's really evolved. But yeah, we definitely learned a lot from Daryl and the guys at Parker.
You know, I want to make sure I get the timeline of this thing right. So you start your, you know, Abacus is a plumbing company, adds HVAC. That's the second trade, right?
Yep.
And that was somewhere in 2017.
No, HVAC
was 2010.
Yeah. 10.
Electric was 2017.
A little before, like 16 is, they was, yeah. Cause when I got here in 17, they were probably a year into it and doing a little bit under a million.
Got it. Okay. So, then when, like, before you start adding in, like water heaters aren't, another vertical, but let's look at it like it's its own business. It's the same as it's like generators, like the conversation we're just having. When do you start feeling like, okay, we added this one. Excuse me. We added this one. Okay, now it's starting to click. Now we're adding I would imagine like if we're wanting to bring on more things, they're kind of being like, well, okay, well, Tony's our guy. We're going to bring on this line, or we're going to bring on this trade or this thing. They're trusting that you know one how to build it, support it. And that you have to, but there's got to be something in there where you're like, okay, cool. Now this thing is like, now we're going. This thing is clicking. Is there something that you're paying attention to on that? Is this like in the sales process? Is it installation? Is it on the, you know, economics of the business? Like, what is it that you're saying? Okay, cool. Like this one's clicking. I can start thinking about something different.
Yeah, because I don't know if there's anything that we were necessarily looking at. I think it was more of a, you know, strategic plan Alan had at the time. When it came to water, like electrical was already in the pipeline when I got here. Water was something he always wanted to do. We got that launched in 2019. We took our time with generators, and it was a lot of, you know, him and I just saying, no, we don't, like, let's just get really good at what we do best, right? Let's stay in our wheelhouse. Let's not try to outreach and do this or do that, because then you get distracted. Let's just stay really focused on this. But I think as we evolved and we got our electrical division to where it was like best and like it was humming along. Average ticket was there, close rates were there. You know, we're maximizing this thing, great margins. Let's say, okay, let's layer in generators and let's learn generators, but do it the Abacus way. It was always making sure that we did it the Abacus way, the standards that we have, not losing that touch when it came to our customer service, our quality. Those were all important. You know, it wasn't necessarily about price and we knew that this was a phenomenal generator market. You know, generator superstores is the biggest, you know, place out there. So we knew that this is a good market for us, but we also knew we had to do it our way. And we had to make sure we layered it in properly. And so that's really been kind of how we've done things over the years. It's just making sure we don't try to look too far ahead and just let's take care of the blocking and tackling first. Let's make sure we're executing the basics of the business at a high rate to where we feel like we're, you know, we're leveraging well, and then we can move into something else. We could take on that next vertical for us, whether it was, generators most recently.
Tony, when you bring on this new trade, and I think you mentioned in the water treatment, you had hired somebody to kind of lead the effort. Mm-hmm. Would you say that finding that person that can be the champion behind it is the biggest piece of it actually being successful? I feel like I found where, you know, if you go tell the plumbing department, hey guys, we want to focus on water treatment, it's like, well, no one, it's just like, okay, well, that along with 100 other things that you're asking me to do, sure, I'll get around to it if I do. Would you say that's the biggest key, or is there some other piece of the puzzle in lifting up kind of a new line that you feel like has made you successful?
I think we had to have an expert, because none of us were experts in water, right? And at least for us, we knew about water, and but we weren't good at it, or we would have been really successful already. So we had to go outside and hire somebody that was an expert and somebody that was going to help us build it from the right way from the ground up. And then from there, you know, we said, okay, how do we layer this in with what we want to do, and let that person know, hey, I get it. You used to do your installs with this over there at your other company. That's just not our way of doing it. It's got to be this. We got to have this. And it isn't. And when we do that, it ties into the brand, ties into what we're saying from a marketing standpoint. And now we can get behind that. So, yeah, I think that the key is getting the right person, a person who doesn't have, like, oh, it's my way or the highway type of thing. Is like they understand what they're brought in for, and the exciting part is a lot of people like to come in and say, hey, I can put my fingerprints on this along with your brand and sell. And he's still here today. This was 2019, so he's still leading our water division today. So I think we got the right person.
Hey, Culligan man, remember that old advertising?
Yeah,
isn't that what you brought in? You said you brought in a dude from Culligan.
We did.
So you got to basically, this is actually going to be one of my questions, was when you're, when you're bringing in somebody from like outside the trade or even inside the trade, in this instance, it makes sense because you want to have a specialist, but that specialist also needs to be somebody who's flexible to like learn that there's another way to get it, you know, to get it done. I think, which is what you get anytime you have somebody who's tenured, right? Like kind of get set in their ways. But so yeah, you want a specialist, but you want somebody who's also flexible to kind of maybe do it a little bit different that matches like what you guys want, your culture.
Correct. Yeah. You now, have to have that.
How do you find that? Like when you see, this is where I was getting trouble. I had an interview today. Uh-huh. And I'm trying to ask like all the questions, you know, in a PC way to really get to the answer I want. I don't ever interview anybody ever at this business. Okay. Like, and for good reason, I don't, because I'm definitely an HR issue, like waiting to happen. Cause I don't know what questions you can and can't ask. I always forget. So I'm interviewing this person today, and I'm trying to find out if their favorite color is, you know, red, if it's, you know, blue, they like, you know, elephants or donkeys, or like, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what questions can I ask of these people to find out, like, are they going to be a good cultural fit for this business that I, you know, that I'm not crossing the boundary. So I say those things joking. I didn't ask them that person either one of those questions, but I asked ChatGPT, what are some questions I could ask to find this answer? But there's got to be something that, like, you know, that you when you have somebody who's skilled like that, it's a specialist coming in or any leadership role, there's still things that you guys probably have that you're asking to find out. Like, are they going to work in this environment? They have the skill. We got it. Right. I have the skill, but are they going to fit in this environment? Like, is there a go-to for you? I don't have anything. So I'm like legit curious to hear what you're asking.
Yeah, we try to do our best to find out, is this person, do they have the humility? Are they hungry? Are they humble, hungry, and smart, right? Do they have the humility to take on, you know, to come in here and maybe, yeah, they may have 20 years at whatever company they come from, but do they have the ability to kind of park that to the side and say, hey, I'm going to come in and learn Abacus, to learn the Abacus way and the standards that Abacus has. Am I hungry? Am I, and I don't mean, you know, do they have the drive? Do they have the drive to want to learn? And I think that's, for me, like I look back and I say, okay, I had to have humility when I came in here, because I definitely needed, well, even though I had years and years of experience of leading people, I knew nothing about the business. So I had to park my ego, park everything to the side and say, I'm going to learn this business. I'm going to learn these people. And I had a constant drive to learn. And I think that's the one thing I look for in leaders today is I got to have people that are, that have that humility, that have that, that, that drive, and they have to be, you know, smart. And I don't mean book smart. I think I mean people smart. They have to have the ability to read a room. They have to have the ability to connect with people. They have to have the ability to say, hey, let's, what's the right thing? What's the next right thing to do for this person or this, how do I help develop him or her? And, so those are the things I look for. Cause again, steel is steel, right? They, a lot of people will have years of experience in the industry, but I'm looking for somebody that's got that, that, that's got those other three traits.
Well, you know, I've asked Chad this question before, and because Chad loves karaoke, that's one of his favorite questions is like, hey, what's your favorite karaoke song? Cause you know, Chad's is Don't Stop Believing. He's really good at singing Journey. And then, so, I mean, not everybody agrees with that, but I think it's, you know, you can tell a lot about the song choice. Somebody would pick. Chad, why don't you give us a little rendition, buddy?
I'm going to go ahead and not do that. We'll continue on. I don't want to steal the spotlight from Tony here. So maybe on another episode.
I have to do karaoke with you, man. I'm terrible.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Hey, for our listeners, and maybe even you, Chad, Abacus, do you know what an abacus is?
I do not.
So it's like an OG calculator. It's like the old, so you put like
one of these.
Yeah, there you go. So you can just do a little math on that thing. That's what an abacus is. Which, you know, I don't know if Tony, if your teacher told you this, I'm sure that they did, just like mine did.
Right.
Is they'd say, you know, I sucked at math. Like really bad. Still suck at math. But they said, what are you going to do? Carry a calculator in your pocket? Yeah, we did. Yeah, right. It's called cell phones. So, yeah. So Mrs. Fratrick, if you're listening, I got a calculator in my pocket every single day.
That's crazy. And you know, I was
not an abacus. That thing's too big.
it's a phenomenal story. I don't know if you guys know the story of how even Alan came up with the name Abacus. So when he started the company, he was, you know, he was told, hey, you know, Yellow Pages obviously was the big play at the time. So he wanted something that was Yellow Page friendly. So ABA for Abacus. And then it came to him and said, ABA, okay, you can count on us. You can count on an Abacus. That's our tagline. You can count on us.
Oh, so like Abracadabra could have worked too.
Yeah. It was funny because we were in Austin yesterday and he was talking to the group and he was kind of walking through the story of how he came up with the colors and how he came up with everything else. So it was a good history lesson for that group.
I don't think I asked that question. I didn't know that, but that makes total sense. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, I don't have anything else. I actually think that we hit on quite a bit of things and we covered some of my questions just in the answer to some of the other stuff. But I'll tell you what, I think we got to get Chad. I think we got to get Tony to do a Rhino X. That's what we need to do.
You get him. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And mingle with the, you know, with us, you know, common folk. we got a pretty good group coming. I'm excited for it. And I was talking to PK yesterday.
Okay.
I was actually at Google yesterday. They basically bring in their top 40 independent largest agencies, like the C-suites in there. And you basically, it's like one part, how did we do last year in supporting your business? One part, here's all the new stuff. And then here's what you're going to get for next year, like in support. And it's kind of small group, like I said, just 40 of us, you know, and every year I'm like, give me rebates, like to give back to our customers. But they have a lot of really cool shit that they're building and putting out that we weren't using that we have total access to for nothing.
Right.
Right. And so it's interesting to hear like all the new things coming out, you know, and I'm like, okay. And I'm trying to think about all the cool Google puts on a hell of a show when you go there. And I try to think like, how can I make Rhino X cooler every year? And they're like, well, we can just come speak. I'm like, I said, I want to make it cooler, not nerdier. Okay. Like, no, thank you. If you would have sat in that meeting, you'd have been on your phone like the whole time because it's like so like well, you're tech savvy so you probably would have got it, but my god
I have attention span of like, you know, it was like 10 seconds, so I don't know if I would have made it through the meeting.
Well, listen, man, congratulations like for being a cool success story for someone coming in out of the trades. Like, you've certainly earned, like, you're here, you're in it, and you're doing well in it, so congratulations. And I know, like I said, I kind of said jokingly, but Alan, you know, thinks the world of you. And he had so many nice things to say about you, and even like followed it up with like metrics, you know, to support his theory or his opinion on you.
Man, he's a phenomenal person, man. He's a great leader, but he's an even better person. He is just one of one.
And he already wins because he's got a cool accent, you know? So he's got that accent.
Right.
But listen, man, we appreciate you making the time for us in the middle of the day, you know, and I'm glad we got done. I'm glad to be your first podcast.
I'm excited. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. Chad and I will have a special place in your heart for the rest of your life, I'm sure.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right, man. Well, Chad, if you don't have anything else, go ahead and close us out to our listeners. You know, got to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days.